Now, Dennis Altman, OAM, may need no introduction for some of our listeners, but in a nutshell, he is a longtime gay rights activist and AIDS advocate who has published numerous books since 1971's Homosexual. His latest book is a departure from his usual non-fiction and academic work. It's a whodunit called Death in the Sauna. And we are very fortunate to be speaking to Dennis today. Dennis, welcome and thank you for joining us.
Hi, Kelly. It's lovely to be at least on the air in Perth, if not physically in Perth.
Yeah, and it's great to be talking to you. So your new book is an Agatha Christie-style murder mystery. What possessed you to write a whodunit?
You know, it came, I think, two things. It really came out of a lockdown walk, and people in Perth will remember that we over in Melbourne were locked down for very long periods during which we could own our social life was going for walks with friends. And with a friend of mine, one day I said, you know, I've always thought one could write a story that began with a dead body in a gay sauna. And Tom said, let's do it. So on our walks, we invented the story. Having done that, Tom basically then said, okay, now you go away and write it. And that's how Death in the Sauna came into being.
Mm-hmm. I love that, brainstorming the plot of a whodunit while you're out walking. You're one of the people that were able to use the time in the lockdowns.
Yes. And I don't think it would have happened without those conversations, because, as I say, I think the idea had been vaguely in the back of my mind for decades, but it took the walking for it to generate.
Mm-hmm. The book is set in the early 2000s in London. Why did you choose that time and place?
You know, it's a very good question, because I'm not sure I've got a very good answer. I think, I think London, because there is something about writing about somewhere that you're not immediately situated in actually requires more work, more imagination. I knew London well enough to be able to describe it to the extent that I had to, but I don't live there, and therefore I wasn't going to make it too much for reflection of my own life. I think the reason we went for 2003 had a double meaning. One is the murder takes place on the eve of a big international AIDS conference, and the early 2000s were really the peak of global interest in the AIDS epidemic. The other reason, of course, was that back then, we're talking now two decades ago, there was far less surveillance. People could walk in and out of saunas without ID. Now, to go into a gay venue, certainly a gay sex venue, you actually have to produce photo ID. And that, of course, immediately makes the possibilities for getting away with murder somewhat more difficult. So I think those two things came together, and somehow then it just felt right. And I had to do a lot. I mean, luckily, it's easy to do this online. A lot of research to make sure that I got things right, such as the sorts of clothes people wore, the music that was being played, even the fact that the first gay dating apps had already come into being at the very end of the last century.
Mm-hmm. I guess the politics of AIDS research and advocacy is a very strong element of the book, and the different agendas that people might have. And two of the characters are also involved in creating a vaccine for HIV. So what has changed in that area over the two decades since the book is set and now?
And it's interesting because, of course, we still don't have a vaccine against HIV. Quite amazing, really. I can remember back in 1985, so probably before a lot of your listeners were even born, the then US Secretary of Health, Margaret Heckler, said, we will have a vaccine against this disease in a few years. 40 years later, we still don't have a vaccine. There have been very many attempts. There have been some near successes. By 2003, there were effective treatments, not, of course, to the extent that we now have them. But it was no longer a period in which being diagnosed with AIDS necessarily meant that there was effectively nothing that could be done for you. So it is a point, I guess, midway in the history of the epidemic. And certainly, look, in no way did I set out to write anything that was educational or informative. It's an entertainment. But because it is set during an AIDS conference, inevitably it does, I think, remind people of some of the history of the epidemic, the responses to the epidemic. And of course, several of the major characters, as you suggested, are very involved in jockeying for positions in what I have to say is a totally fictitious organization, namely the Global AIDS Trust.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it really does make you reflect, given the experience of the past 2 years and the ongoing pandemic, the comparisons to be made with the AIDS public health crisis and the different public health responses.
It's also, I mean, there's another thing, of course, which is if one had set it in the present, and remember, we started planning this beginning of last year, we would have had to figure out how to deal with COVID. Now, that would have rather messed things up because people wouldn't have been going in and out of saunas during the COVID period. So in a sense, it had to be set before the world we lived in 2021-22. But I'd also say for a writer, there is something... It's more fun, you know, if you go somewhere else, you go to a different time and place because you have to do a certain amount of research. You have to check your memories. And one of the things I discovered, oddly, was that I know London vaguely. I've never lived there. The place I really remembered as I was writing was Brighton, which I've only been to a couple of times. But for some reason, I could visualize it very, very clearly, and therefore conveniently could set a couple of scenes in Brighton in the writing of the book.
That's really surprising because I really did get a sense from reading it that you had such an intimate knowledge of London and Brighton. It was very vividly brought to life.
Well, look, I'm delighted that so far nobody has yet said to me, you know, you got this wrong. I will admit there are a couple of places in the book in London I have never been to, but nowadays with the possibilities of Google Maps and the fact that you can actually walk down a street, any street, anywhere in the world on your computer means that authors have extraordinary freedom. You know, you can describe somewhere looking at it, sitting at your computer at home, and in at least one case in the book, that's what happened.
Mm-hmm. We are speaking to Dennis Altman about his new book called Death in the Sauna. It's a whodunit, which has been described by Benjamin Law as what Agatha Christie would have written had she been a gay man, which is a wonderful description.
I love that. When Ben said that, I was so thrilled because it's exactly what I desperately hoped somebody would say.
Yeah. There's a real enthusiast knowledge of Agatha Christie scattered throughout the pages with that knowledge of all the different editions of the books that came out and where they were published.
Yes. And that was quite deliberate. So in a way, I guess it is a bit of a homage to Agatha Christie, but also I think a send-up to some extent of that sort of genteel English murder story.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I imagine it would be hard to write a whodunit now without sending it up because it's just the genre itself cries out to be satired. When you've written all of your other books, 17 or so non-fiction and academic works, How was the writing of this book, this fiction work, compared to your usual writing process for a non-fiction work?
I should say I have actually written, I did write a novel a long time ago called The Comfort of Men.
Okay. Didn't realise that was a novel. My apologies.
It is a novel. It was based on the idea that, so it's a sort of political satire because it's based on the idea that Tasmania becomes independent and breaks away from Australia, which is a reflection of the fact that I grew up in Tasmania and therefore could write about it. Look, I think this is the most fun writing I've ever done. I have written other books that I've enjoyed, but nothing has been quite as entertaining as this. And I think what I discovered and didn't really understand when I've heard writers say this is that the story reveals itself as you write. So, you know, Tom and I had the basic outline, but as I started writing it, things started to change. A couple of new characters emerged because I needed them. Most interestingly, the person we thought had done it and the person I thought had done it until about, I'd say 80% through the book, I suddenly realized may not have done it and maybe it should be somebody else. And that literally came as a surprise to me. Obviously, my subconscious had been working away very hard for that to happen. But it's a very different experience to writing something like, for example, Queer Wars, which is a book about the different ways in which our communities are being treated in different parts of the world. There you're, of course, bound entirely by factual material. And you can't allow your imagination to go wild.
And are there more whodunits on the horizon for you? Could you potentially take one of the characters from Death in the Sauna and give them more mysteries to solve?
Look, I don't think so. People keep asking me, what's the next one? I was very flattered, actually, when one of the first people who read this was the events manager at Reading's bookstore in Melbourne, and that was her first question. I thought, wow, maybe I should do this. But no, I have got an idea. Whether I'll do anything with it or not, I'm not sure. But it wouldn't be set in London, it wouldn't use those characters, and it would be set in a rather different world. And I think the point is that you can only write a whodunit if you set it in an environment you know very well. And so it probably won't totally surprise you if I say that I have been vaguely playing around with the idea of a book called Death of a Vice Chancellor.
I think that's something we might all like to read.
I did mention it at an event and all the academics in the audience clapped. So
yeah, I can imagine. Well, very much looking forward to that when it finally comes out. Dennis Altman, thank you so much for chatting to us today about your new book, Death in the Sauna.
Great. And I should just say, I think there's a slight chance I might be over in Perth in November, so we might well meet then.
Oh, that would be wonderful for our Pride Month.
Yep. Yep.
Great. Well, hope to meet you then or see you at a talk or whatever you get up to. Enjoy the rest of your day, Dennis. Thanks so much for chatting.
Thanks.